Welcome to Nancy's Bookshelf, a program of conversation and reading with local and regional writers. Now, here's your host, Nancy Wiegman.
Humming may be one of the most powerful natural abilities that we possess, yet most of us are completely unaware of it. My guests today have written a guide to conscious humming. Their book, The Humming Effect, Sound Healing for Health and Happiness, has been the number one new release in psychology on Amazon. The authors claim humming not only helps with stress levels, sleep, and blood pressure, but also increases lymphatic circulation and melatonin production, releases endorphins, creates new neural pathways in the brain, and releases nitric oxide, a neurotransmitter fundamental to health and well-being. Jonathan Goldman is an award-winning musician, composer, writer, teacher, and chant master. He is an authority on sound healing and a pioneer in the field of harmonics. He is the author of several books, including Healing Sounds, and the founder and director of the Sound Healers Association. Welcome, Jonathan Goldberg.
Thank you, Nancy. It is a pleasure.
And then Andy Goldman is a psychotherapist specializing in holistic counseling and sound therapy, the director of Healing Sound Seminar, co-director of the Sound Healers Association, and co-author with Jonathan Goldman of Chakra Frequencies. Andy Goldberg, welcome.
Well, thank you, Nancy. And we are delighted to be here today and sharing with your audience all about the power of sound.
And well, particularly humming. Yes.
Well, before we start, because you suggest remedies in your book, I would like to give you an opportunity to clarify that your book is intended as an informational guide. So do you want to add anything about the techniques and remedies you suggest?
Oh, yes. As in anything that happens, you could almost say the same thing about breath, though. On a level, there have been all sorts of phenomena found about the power of breath, and yet one would not want to do any sort of, this is indeed educational, and these are not healing techniques, but just things to experiment with and perhaps to change the way you feel. We'll see.
Well, you actually state, a note to the reader, the remedies, approaches, and techniques described herein are meant to supplement and not be a substitute for professional medical care or treatment. And, of course, not be used to treat any serious ailment without prior consultation with a qualified healthcare professional. So that, having said that, we're going to be talking about a lot of the benefits of humming. And I'd like to start with the last one that I mentioned, that humming releases nitric oxide, a neurotransmitter fundamental to health and well-being. Now, I think this would come as a surprise to a lot of people. And we're used to techniques for reducing stress and blood pressure. But nitric oxide?
You happen to have hit upon perhaps my favorite, positive physiological benefit of humming, which has been certainly validated in all sorts of what they call peer review scientific and medical journals. I think further research may reveal that right now it's been utilized. They found that when people hum, they stick a little, probes up the nose, and they get the release of nitric oxide in the sinus cavity. But I think we're going to find that literally the cells, anytime a cell is being massaged and vibrated with sound, period, then you get a release of nitric oxide, not nitrous oxide, but nitric yeah. oxide, which is a vasodilator. And I just, for example, was reading a book by a cardiologist on how nitric oxide could be used for treatment of cardiovascular conditions. So I think at some point in some time, we're going to find that it has really powerful, powerful effects treating all sorts of different conditions, from sinus conditions on.
Well, and Nancy, I just want to jump in here as
this is
well
Andy Goldberg,
because
by the way.
A sound as simple as humming is one that everybody actually can do. And we're just sort of focusing on conscious humming so that these physiological benefits can be, people can experience them for themselves and feel that reduction in stress and feel themselves relaxing more after simply humming. It's a powerful yet very simple sound.
Well, we were talking about nitric oxide, and again, I want to emphasize that we're not talking about nitrous oxide, but nitric oxide. And the foreword in your book is written by John Beaulieu, and he mentions that he worked with some labs, Cell Dynamic Labs, in
right.
association with the State University of New York, and the focus of their work was this compound called nitric oxide, a neurotransmitter fundamental to our health and well-being. And he had this sentence in the foreword: nitric oxide is released as a gas in 6-minute cycles by endothelial, neuronal, and immune cells. A compromise in nitric oxide release is a precursor to many diseases, including heart disease, upper and lower motor neuron disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, which is ALS, depression, Parkinson's, autoimmune diseases, Alzheimer's, digestive disorders, and sexual dysfunction. That's quite a list for this neurotransmitter that most of us, it's totally, we haven't even heard of.
In 2008, I believe, Science magazine named nitric oxide the molecule of the year, which is kind of cool. Might have been a few years before that. But regardless, I just imagine this little molecule going on stage and receiving this award. It's this molecule of the year going, thank you very much. But it really, a lot of people have not heard of it, but that does not mean it is not extremely important. It may be one of the major precursors for healing of so many different problems. And so we have indeed a small section at the very, very beginning of the book talking about how nitric oxide is triggered by humming. And it's really important for people to know about.
And something as simple as humming, and with our book, The Humming Effect, oh my gosh, people will begin to become acquainted with this molecule and what it can do. And that was one of our hopes and our goals for bringing this information into book form.
My guests are Jonathan Goldberg and Andy Goldberg. They are the co-authors of The Humming Effect, Sound Healing for Health and Happiness. I mentioned that your foreword is written by someone with ND and PhD degrees, John Beaulieu. And I was particularly interested in the fact that he studied piano at Indiana University, my alma mater. And such an interesting anecdote that he told about the concert pianist Vladimir Ashkenazy. Do you remember that story?
Yes, certainly.
Would you tell that? Because I think it illustrates how some of us don't even realize we're humming.
Oh, well, I mean, he was talking about the fact that a major pianist hummed when he performed. And indeed, I can literally name you I'm not only Jonathan Goldman, the writer, but I'm also Jonathan Goldman, the Grammy nominee. So I deal a lot with music, and I can name you a whole lot of really well-known musicians who the engineers, the greatest problem that they have when they're recording them is to record just their instrumental as opposed to their hum at the same time.
Because you say, excuse me, John says that he told Vladimir about his stage humming. He would hum on stage and that he was trying to control it during concerts.
Right.
But then the next evening, he was sitting on the front row for this piano concert, and he could hear Vladimir Ashkenazy humming while he played.
Well, Keith Jarrett is another guy who's very well known for his really loud humming as well when he plays.
Well, I want to ask the two of you how you got into this field, because I wonder, Jonathan, if your father's profession influenced your own choice, this field of interest.
My dad was perhaps one of the great pioneers of plastic surgery and actually ear, nose, and throat. And he was head of ear, nose, and throat, and then rhinoplasty at Mount Sinai, and was, actually the throat doctor to many famous people, including Frank Sinatra. But no, I went off and I became a rock and roll musician.
Oh, my goodness.
And then one night when I was on stage, actually, I was coming back from a break, and I was playing lead guitar and singing in this band, and all of a sudden I became aware that the music that I was creating was helping induce an ambiance of negativity and violence. And now it's certainly the, you know, intoxicants that people are imbibing in this club were certainly helping induce that, but also the music that I was creating. And this, I'm not saying all rock and roll, but simply the music that I was creating at that particular time and place. And I have a thought, gee, I wonder if music can be used to make people feel better, which may not seem really like a, you know, huge thought, but, you know, it was the first time in 15 years that I'd ever really had that. And then it slowly just shifted a little bit and became, I wonder if sound can be used to heal.
My guests are Jonathan Goldberg and Andy Goldberg, and they are co-authors of a book, The Humming Effect: Sound Healing for Health and Happiness. I just asked Jonathan how he got interested in this subject. And Andy, at what point did you discover this interest?
Nancy, I tell you, as a holistic psychotherapist, my emphasis areas were always using expressive therapies. And certainly sound is one of the most expressive therapies that there is. And I knew the value of the healing value of working with sound. And when I met Jonathan, which was back in 1995, it was just this wonderful relationship that we hit with his pioneering work in sound and my background as a holistic psychotherapist. I just started using sound and became very, very involved in the field of sound, working alongside Jonathan.
Totally. And it's been just a great blessing and a great pleasure to have Andy Goldman and Jonathan Goldman working together. We are the Goldmans, and we work together in sound healing. What a blessing it is.
Well, and we've been working together now, obviously, for well over 20 years, and just really feel quite blessed that our paths crossed, and they are still crossing.
Totally.
Well, I mentioned earlier benefits of humming, and that one of them started with the last one that I mentioned, which was the nitric oxide. I would like to get back to some of the other benefits. People understand stress reduction and lowering blood pressure, for example, but I would like to give you a chance to mention kind of how this happens. You talk about the parasympathetic dominance of the cardiovascular system in your book. And how does that relate to slowing heart rate and dilating blood vessels and activating digestion?
I am going to suggest that that was actually the result of one of the research studies that we found that talked about the fact that humming, and particularly an ohm, was able to basically do that and therefore cause the limbic system, if you like, to get less active, and therefore cause people to become less emotional, which therefore would cause people to basically very simply become less stressed out. And I think that's so important because so many people are so stressed out these days.
Well, in all the years that we've been teaching and working with sound, and of course, you know, humming has been one of those sounds, although certainly not exclusively humming, but working with our own self-created sounds, our experience has been one where people that we've taught have really gone into those places of lowering their level of stress and really feeling more of a sense of balance. And it's almost like when people are, for instance, humming, since that is the nature of our talk today in our book, it's almost like they're giving themselves an internal massage. It's that vibration that really resonates throughout the body. It's what we call fibroacoustics. It goes into the body and resonates and vibrates. That frequency of our own sound vibrates in and throughout our bodies. And if people even hum for a couple of minutes with their eyes closed and they're, you know, humming, they will begin to feel a sense of centeredness many, many times.
It's quite extraordinary. Once again, I try very, very much so. When we were teaching, there's so many different aspects of how and why sound can heal, or at least is said to be able to heal. I mean, back in 1988, the New York Times basically had this little article that I thought was very, very important. It was February 8th, 1988, and it said, sound shaped in a dazzling tool can make, break, or rearrange molecular structure. And Nancy, if you're dealing with an energy that has the ability of literally rearranging molecular structure, the possibilities of what sound can do are potentially endless. And many, many years ago, there was a well-known psychic by the name of Edgar Cayce. He was called the Sleeping Prophet. This is about 100 years ago. And he said that sound would be the medicine of the future. And we perceive that we are basically well approaching the future right now. And we are seeing sound being used for treatment of all sorts of different phenomena, including, various types of Parkinson's. And with TED Talks of a scientist who's shown that sound could be used to basically destroy cancer cells. That's quite amazing.
In fact, in my own imagination, I view the day in the future when doctors will sit around talking, saying, you remember when we used to cut on people and poison people to heal them? And all along, we could have just been using sound. That's my scenario for the future. I want to get back to the fact that blood pressure is reduced by slow-paced humming. Mm-hmm. And you say caused both the systolic and diastolic blood pressure of participants to decrease significantly, accompanied by a slight decrease in heart rate. And I knew somebody who went into the doctor and his blood pressure was taken. And he said, would you give me a couple of minutes and take it again? And the attendant kind of humored him and the nurse. And so he took a couple of minutes to do some yogic breathing. Mm-hmm. And the nurse was shocked because I guess a lot of people ask it, oh, take it again, it'll be better. And his actually was. It just those few deep breaths that he took actually changed the reading of the blood pressure in that short of time. And it was a surprise. And I think a lot of this that's so simple, it surprises people that it is so simple.
Well, I think that that's one of the major reasons why humming has this effect, is the fact that, and throughout the book, we talk about the fact that when you are humming and when you're doing conscious humming, you basically, we usually ask the people, if possible, like, you know, sit in a quiet place with their eyes closed if possible, and then breathe very slowly, taking a nice deep breath in, and then humming. And then taking another nice deep breath in and humming. And I have no doubt that the fact that our respiration is being slowed down is also majorly important in terms of why our blood pressure and heart rate are reduced. I think everything is synergistic and works together.
Certainly the breath, the breathing aspect is very important when we are working with sound. And we have a whole chapter in our book dedicated to the importance of breath. And as the story that you were just sharing, Nancy, where the person was breathing and it did in fact lower his blood pressure, we know that that can happen, and certainly humming along with that can even enhance that lowering of the blood pressure and feeling that more relaxing, letting go of the stress kind of thing.
Right. I mean, you know, once again, so the, you know, the breath and then the, you know, changing, you know, the different aspects of the nervous system and all these different things. And, you know, I think the really big question is, well, why you two, and we've been together now in the field of sound as a healing modality for over 50 years, which is kind of scary.
Collectively,
yes.
It is.
But, and we've worked with all sorts of different sounds, from Hindu mantras to divine name chanting to all sorts of different things. And the question is, why would we, right from our perspective, as far as we know, this is the first book that has ever been written that has been exclusively dedicated to humming. Now, there certainly have been chapters in a number of different books, but this, as far as we know, now, no doubt a lot of people have probably written self-published little things that have done it, but this is something done by a major publisher. And once again, it actually took us 4 years to write this book because we really needed to go in on so many different levels. And the question is, why humming?
My guests are Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman, and they've written a book, The Humming Effect, Sound Healing for Health and Happiness. I've mentioned some of the benefits of humming, like the release of nitric oxide and the fact that it can reduce blood pressure. But you have a section that, and I mentioned that it increases lymphatic circulation. Why is that good to increase lymphatic circulation?
Well, on a level, it just clears out the toxins in the body.
And you say one of the effects of humming is increased oxygen level in the cells. And then because when you're breathing deeply, that increases the oxygen and the release of nitric oxide. And you say this also applies to the lymphatic system, which is a subset of the circulatory system. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the filtering of the lymph as this fluid that drains tissues from tissues in the blood into the blood.
And you also get the release of melatonin, which is, I think, if I like nitric oxide, I think Andy likes melatonin. melatonin, of course, is oftentimes used as a tool to help set our biorhythms and help us sleep, so that oftentimes you can just hum and help yourself get to sleep. But also, Andy,
well, not too long ago, maybe a year or two ago, I was reading some research with melatonin, and they were beginning to sort of work with it as a possible antidepressant. And that sort of made me perk up, because I know through my own experience and through teaching other people that when we are working with our own self-created sounds, we begin to feel better. And so when I saw that, you know, melatonin was being used as a possible antidepressant, I went, let's keep on working with our sounds and humming and get humming out to people so that they can know that they can make a simple sound. They don't have to come and, you know, delve deeply into sound healing workshops or do, you know, doctoral work with sound healing with all the scientific information that is out there. We put it into our book so that people out in the general public could begin to go, oh my gosh, I think I'm going to hum and see if this really works. And I will go out on a limb here and say, they will say, yes, it does. Yeah. I feel better.
Well, if people have heard of melatonin, it's usually in relation to something like jet lag, and they take melatonin to help get synchronize their biological clock and sync back with the time zone that they're in. But yeah, the benefit of humming can help with that. And it's also, you mentioned that melatonin is a powerful free radical scavenger and wide spectrum antioxidant. And so if melatonin supports our immune system and has anti-inflammatory effects, so many people are looking for ways to reduce inflammation that I would think they would want to latch on to humming.
Absolutely. And Nancy, one thing that just occurred to me, speaking of, you know, airplanes and so forth, someone can hum and really not even be noticeable. I have literally been on an airplane sitting in my seat and just in my own way, just started very gently, very softly, humming and just imagining the sounds of the hum just filling up my body, and it has really helped.
Oh yes, it's
anywhere.
Any interesting things? I wanted to get back to why humming, and the thing is, so we've been dealing with the use of sound as a healing modality for a really long time, and for a lot of people, when we talk about sound healing, they oftentimes think, well, they either need a degree in music, or they need to be a trained vocalist, or they need some sort of credentials in music or some sort of experience in music. And we said, okay, golly, we need to write a book about the simplest sound, something that everybody can do, and everybody can hum. So we began to, you know, research humming, and the more we began to research humming, the more extraordinary we found the effects, not only the physiological benefits such as you were talking about, and these include, of course, the release of, you know, oxytocin, which is the...
Well, I'd like to talk to you about that, about oxytocin, about endorphin release, but we do need to take a break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about those other benefits of humming, and also if you would describe some techniques that we can use. But we'll do that after we take a break. You're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. I'm Nancy Wigman. I'm Nancy Wigman, and you're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. My guests today have written a book on humming, the humming effect, sound healing for health and happiness. Jonathan Goldberg is an award-winning musician, composer, writer, teacher, and chant master. He's an authority on sound healing and a pioneer in the field of harmonics. He is the author of several books, including Healing Sounds, and the founder and director of the Sound Healers Association. Andy Goldman is a psychotherapist specializing in holistic counseling and sound therapy, the director of Healing Sounds Seminars, co-director of the Sound Healers Association, and co-author with Jonathan Goldman of Chakra Frequencies. So welcome back, Jonathan and Andy.
Thank you, Nancy. It's lovely to be on your bookshelf.
Well, before the break, I mentioned that we would be talking a little bit more about some of the benefits of humming. For example, endorphins. The humming can release endorphins. And how do we know that that's, how can we feel if that's happening?
Well, you know, what's interesting, one of the things that, of course, most people do, and we talk about conscious humming, but most people unconsciously hum when they're feeling good. And that's just, you know, one of the things, whether it's even little babies or people hum, you know, they're humming songs, or elderly people are hum when they basically not even consciously. So here we have a phenomena of a sound that we naturally make. And of course, endorphins are great pain relievers. They occur whenever we're doing something that makes us feel good. And obviously, humming makes us feel good.
Well, I noticed in this list that any activity that makes us feel good, including playing music, dancing, singing, can stimulate endorphin release, and exercise, you mentioned. And I do know that I recently flew across the Atlantic back from France, and that next evening I was going to go dancing. I thought, oh, I just don't have the energy. And I dragged myself out on the dance floor, and within seconds, I was like a new person. And I'm sure those endorphins were just flooding my system, because that dancing really made such a difference in the way I felt. It was really a burst of energy.
You know, totally true. And what's so interesting is, like, you know, you mentioned playing music or singing. They both do it. But for so many people, either playing music or singing is a special activity. And we wanted to create some sort of sound activity that wasn't separatist, that was like that everybody could take part in. It wasn't an exclusive club. Everybody can hum.
Well, and the other thing is that all, you know, dancing and singing and all of those things absolutely are wonderful. And the real beauty about something as simple as humming is that a person can basically hum just about anywhere at any time, and can then experience those benefits of endorphins being released and nitric oxide being released. And it's just right at our fingertips, practically, to hum whenever we want.
Right. And probably one of the most important things, once again, is the reduction of stress-related hormones, cortisol, and all this other stuff. Because, I mean, once again, everybody is so stressed out, and we know there's such a major relationship between physical imbalances, emotional imbalances, mental imbalances, and stress. So if we can somehow reduce stress, we'll not only be feeling a whole lot better, we'll probably be a whole lot healthier and happier.
And just simply by humming, I invite our audience to just try it out for themselves.
Well, there's one other benefit, and you mentioned in your book oxytocin release. And you say that oxytocin is known as the trust hormone or love hormone. And you quote somebody later in the book, I believe you're quoting somebody else, but that the true sound of healing is love.
Yes.
That's a wonderful idea that you get across. The true sound of healing is love. And you mentioned that oxytocin is a hormone that is associated with situations involving close relationships, such as deep sharing and friendships. And when mothers nurse their babies, that this seems to facilitate this bonding because of the release of oxytocin. So this is something that is so desirable. And you say that something just as simple as humming can stimulate the release of oxytocin.
Indeed, it can. And well, go ahead, John.
Well, I just wanted to share with you you and your listeners, a great tool for, if you like, creating a simpatico relationship with somebody else. Because, you know, Andy and I deeply love each other, but, you know, there are times when we have our issues, and we found that making a sound as simple as humming can literally shift and change our consciousness in a matter of seconds, if not minutes. So, you know, we can pull up to a party and, I want to go home, and all of a sudden, hey, let's hum together. And we just hum for a minute or two, and all of a sudden, whatever issues we had disappear. And Nancy, it's fabulous. It's fabulous. So, I mean, of course, you have to agree firsthand that the sounds that you make together are not going to be negative ones against each other, but instead humming together. But it'll really work. It's a great, great therapeutic trick.
My guests are Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman, and their book is The Humming Effect, Sound Healing for Health and Happiness. The second chapter of your book is on the physics of sound, and you say modern scientists, like ancient mystics, tell us that everything is in a state of vibration, from the electrons moving around the nucleus of an atom to planets and distant galaxies spinning around their suns. And I remember the very moment in my life when I was told that everything is in a state of vibration. I was sitting in a sophomore biology class, and I looked around and I thought, did you all hear that? This desk where we're sitting is vibrating. It just goes against all logic, but this desk where I'm sitting is vibrating. And I think we forget that we kind of live our lives as if that were not the case. And you say that in your book, you state everything, all matter vibrates. But here's where it applies to the humming, including every organ, bone, and tissue in our body. It has resonance or a natural vibratory state. Now, why is that important for us to remember as it relates to humming?
There are two basic approaches to using sound as the healing modality. And the first one is simply this: if everything is basically in a state of vibration, this includes every organ, every bone, every tissue, that when some sort of imbalance steps in, it is as though we're this wonderful orchestra, but all of a sudden the second violin player has lost their sheet music and they begin to play out of tune. And this is as though an organ is perhaps vibrating out of its proper frequency. And the very, very simple idea of using sound as a healing modality is to restore that sheet music back to the string player, or to get the organ to vibrate back to its normal, healthy resonance. And humming, believe it or not, can be extremely powerful in terms of doing that, particularly from our perspective, when we add the concept of intention or belief. Science is now finding more and more the power of what they call the placebo. You know, you take a pill, you believe it's going to have an effect, and a lot of people will have that effect. They used to basically sort of erase that from the data because they, you know, it just screwed up the statistics. And now they're finding more and more that it really shows the relationship between the mind and the body. So we like to perceive that when you are consciously humming, you are making a humming sound with intention. And for example, oftentimes we've had imbalances, sore throat or a headache or something like that, and we've hummed with the idea of projecting the hum to vibrate that area and put it back into balance. And lo and behold, Nancy, in just a few minutes, whatever has been bothering us disappears. It's quite amazing.
And many years ago, back in the 80s, before intention was as prevalently used in the healing modalities as it is today, Jonathan came up with a formula, which was frequency plus intent equals healing. Frequency, the sound, plus our belief, the intention, equaling the healing capacity. And so once again, when we're humming and that vibration, that frequency is vibrating and resonating throughout our body, that is where those molecules and all totally. Those things are excited and happen.
And I'm sure that just, you know, on a practical level, you and your listeners would realize this because, you know, somebody can walk up to you at a party that you have perhaps some issues with, and they go, lovely to see you. And while the words, the frequency is lovely to see you, their energy perhaps was not the best, and you feel like you've been slimed or something like that. And so there's an example of the fact that, you know, the intention, the energy behind the sound, the energy that is encoded on the sound is not only picked up by the body, but it's picked up by our psyche and our consciousness as well.
I do want to get to intention, but you describe in your book two ways in which sound can heal, and they seemed contradictory. And the first one, you mentioned earlier that if the violin player loses his sheet music, it creates cacophony in the orchestra, and like something similar can happen in the body. So describe one way in which sound can heal.
Well, do you want the other way that we're talking about?
Well, you say if you have this healthy body like an orchestra and it's playing all it's playing in harmony until something goes wrong with one of the players.
And so one of the things is basically to reinforce the, you know, if you like, the energy, the sound of the organ that is being influenced and being, let's say there's an intruder energy, whether it's a bacteria or a virus, and the organ is strong enough and healthy enough that the virus simply is unable to have any sort of effect. And the other, if you like, approach.
Well, you were saying in this first way that we can use our own voice to create a tone through humming, and you use the term entrainment, which comes from physics, to describe how vibrations of one object can affect the vibrations of another object. So if we're using toning, humming, for example, we can use our own voice, and that humming can entrain the vibrations in other parts of our bodies to bring them into a state of balance. So that seems logical. But then the other method too sounds like it's the very opposite of the first method.
Ah, yes, but Joshua did fit the walls of Jericho. The second idea is simply one which we've seen, you know, I don't know if you're young enough to remember the Ella Fitzgerald Memorex commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Where she's singing and her voice shatters the glass. And, of course, sound is a very, very powerful tool, and particularly with enough amplitude or loudness, it can certainly shatter things, including if you knew the specific frequency, you could shatter a virus or you could shatter bacteria. Indeed, this is now There's validation of this. So when we were talking about the TED Talks of a professor from Skidmore who basically showed this. So these two ideas, one is to reinforce the energy of the organ, and the other is simply to, shall we say, take care of that which is intruding. One will take care of it, take care of the intrusion by reinforcing the organ. The other one simply takes care of the nasty intruder. And someday I think they will be used to work together where you will reinforce the organ. One frequency will reinforce the organ while another frequency will literally take care of whatever is attacking the organ at the same time, twice as powerful.
Well, you mentioned, for example, using ultrasound to disintegrate kidney stones. And yeah. I think people may have heard of that. And they say, yeah, that makes sense to use ultrasound to disintegrate kidney stones. But the story that you tell in your book about a doctor at the University of Virginia's medical school who used ultrasound to treat Parkinson-like tremors, and I found that actually encouraging. Describe what happened there.
Oh, Nancy, I'm really glad you picked up on that because it just really blew us away when we saw this in action. Dr. Jeffrey Ilias at UVA is working with patients with sound. The piece that we saw, there was a woman that had very, very severe tremors. They put her in a machine similar to an MRI, and he was able to pinpoint the part of her brain that was causing the tremor. He then did whatever that almost laser-like thing of putting sound into that part of the brain. The whole process took about 10 minutes. It was amazing. Afterwards, she came out of the machine and was able literally to write her name.
And it was legible and beautiful, and it was incredible. This is an operation that would have taken hours. Recovery time would have been months
and months. And you know, I liked what you said at the beginning, Nancy, of the interview, where you sort of saw this, you know, this hopeful image of the medical profession not even needing to use, you know, deep surgeries with knives and so forth. And when we saw this demonstration by Dr. Ilias, we went, aha, this is what surgeries are going to look like in the future. They're not going to have knives and blood and all this. It just was amazing what the power of sound really is able to do. And we're finding that more and more and more.
Yeah, here was this woman who couldn't even write her name. And 10 minutes later, she was able to sign it legibly. And that
yes.
just is... you know, when we hear things like this, we wonder, well, why isn't this common practice? But I think this, and maybe you agree, that something as simple as humming or deep breathing, there's no money in that. If I invent a drug, a pharmaceutical company is going to pay for the studies to prove the efficacy of this drug. If I say humming is a remedy for a lot of problems, then nobody stands to gain financially, and nobody is going to expend money to, who's going to pay for that?
Well, Nancy, I mean, it's really interesting because some of the major peer review work that was done either came about humming either came from Nepal or India. And I mean, yes, there has been research about it in the U.S., but I was, you know, quite pleased that these other countries, and once again, they're probably not as pharmacologically oriented as we are.
You mentioned in your book that over the years that you've been working together with the power of sound, you've seen things like tumors disappearing, broken bones healing, incurable chronic conditions immediately becoming better, and that you hear testimonials from people. I'll bet after, because your book is new, people read your book, and they're going to be contacting you saying, yes, what you say in your book is my experience with humming. If they try what you suggest in your book, I'll bet you're going to hear from people who have been helped by humming.
We would love that, Nancy. That is our hope. And certainly the pharmaceutical industry would not be in favor of our humming solutions, but people out there in the world who happen to come across our book, happen to hear our interview today, you know, and decide, I'm going to give this a try, and they will hopefully have wonderful testimonials for us.
One thing that you do say in your book, so somebody says, okay, I'm going to try this humming, but I'm not so sure it's going to work. And you admonish, don't think humming will have a positive effect. Know that it will. And this brings us to this idea of intention. And I want to give you a chance to talk about that, because how does intention relate to humming?
Well, just once again, from our perspective, it really amplifies the sound. So that, for example...
It amplifies the effect of the sound.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, we are almost limitless in our capacity of what we can achieve depending upon what our consciousness, what we want to project on the sound to do. And once again, there's been really, as of late, a great deal of research on the placebo, on the power of belief, you know, many different, you know, phenomena, but basically having to do with the fact that, and there's, of course, the nocebo effect as well, which is the opposite. And, you know, I think that we need to also be aware of the fact that we might go to somebody who is a healer, and they might not have a long time ago, we used to just say they had a good bedside manner. They might not have a good bedside manner. And I might go, oh, you've got this and that, and you're going to have this and that, and you will have this and that, whether or not it's true.
Well, you say, too, that there is an optimum time to encode intention when you're humming, and when is that? At what point in this cycle of breathing?
You know, it's interesting, Nancy, because, you know, there are different times where you can encode that intention. Oftentimes when we're taking that in-breath and, you know, at that point, you know, we can encode the intention. But I want to even go back a little bit, because I think that if someone, for instance, as an example, if someone had a headache, this has happened in my own life. If I've had a headache, I will close my eyes and I will specifically put out the intention that this hum is going to be directed into that part of my head that I have this pain. And so I will encode that intention on my humming itself and just let it keep on going. So the intention can be encoded really before you start humming, while you're humming, when you're breathing. And I encourage people to just experiment with that, because I certainly, will put out the intention before I even start humming. I would like for this pain or this headache to dissipate. And imagining, visualizing through that intention that is indeed happening.
And often it works. One of the things that we really stress in the book is the concept of fluidity, which means that we are all unique vibratory people. And, you know, we do suggest in the book that one place where you could basically encode intention is at that still point between the in-breath and the out-breath. But a lot of, for many people, they get so focused in, am I doing it right, that it basically sort of depletes the whole idea of focusing intention. So we just say whatever works for you is good.
But I think it is helpful to mention that still point, because people might not view that as an opportune moment because they're thinking, well, do I encode it, my intention on the inhale or on the exhale? And maybe they don't think to, oh, I could encode my intention at that still point between the in-breath and out-breath. So you encourage people to experiment for themselves.
Oh, we do. We're so very, very much into, I know a lot of people like to have a sort of cookbook recipe of how to do something, but we just think that the greatest cooks in the world don't use cookbooks. They just put in different ingredients and all, voila, they have the most fabulous dish in the world that just somehow manifests.
Well, now, Andy mentioned that she uses her intention, for example, in helping alleviate headaches. So pain reduction is certainly a good one to use intention. You mentioned relaxation, helping you fall asleep, helping the quality of your sleep, alleviating depression. And that seems like something that would be quite helpful because a lot of times people who are depressed don't feel like doing much of anything. They're too depressed to be motivated to do anything. And it seems like humming, they don't have to be in any particular place. They just, wherever they are, they can hum.
Absolutely, Nancy. Yeah. And they can just begin to hum. And they may even want to hum a tune. They may want to just do a flat out hum. But it is something that they can begin to work with as a tool for healing. And to pull them out of their depression, because I know when people are depressed, there's not, even humming can sometimes be difficult. And so being able to just start that very basic humming sound, which is self-soothing on many levels, that can be very useful for someone with depression.
Mm-hmm. You also propose the idea of letting people know that they can direct this healing, this humming, this vibration into some part of the body. Your hip is sore, you can direct the sound into that part of your body. And it might not occur to people. They might think of humming as taking place in their chest or their head and might not realize that they can direct it. There's so much more information, practical information in your book that I think people will find helpful. You mentioned gratefulness is a great way of opening up positive energy flow in the body. So I hope people, if they don't think they know how to hum, will at least give this a try, and if they are curious, to pick up your book. Thank you so much, Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman. Their book is The Humming Effect, Sound Healing for Health and Happiness. You can find this and other episodes of Nancy's Bookshelf on our website, mynspr.org. I'm Nancy Wiegman.
You've been listening to Nancy's Bookshelf. Our theme music is The Mysterious Barricades by Francois Couperin, performed by Warren Haskell. Nancy's Bookshelf is a production of North State Public Radio.